Hi, I'm Femi Oke. You're watching The Stream. On today's episode, we delve into Kenyan politics. As Kenya bids goodbye to the late President Mwai Kibaki, we look ahead to see who might be the next president of Kenya. So we are going to do a preview of the upcoming general election, the voters, the issues, the candidates. Be part of that discussion as well by jumping into YouTube, and you can be part of today's show. Welcome, Narima, Shiko, Patrick. So good to have you all here. Narima, please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Thanks for having me, Femi. I'm Narima Wako, the executive director of Siasa Place. And it's basically a youth organization. We teach them about the constitution and engage them in elections and politics.
Good to have you. Shiko, welcome to The Stream. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Femi. My name is Shiko Kihika. I work with Tribeless Youth. We work with young people and young creatives in the lower rift. We basically do a lot of advocacy around leadership.
Oh, so good to have you. And Patrick, welcome back to The Stream. Nice to have you. Remind our international viewers who you are and what you do.
Thanks for having me back, Femi. My name is Patrick Kadhara. I'm the curator-in-chief at The Elephant. I'm also a political cartoonist and a writer based in Nairobi.
All right, so, friends, is this the very best that Kenya can do in terms of the next president of Kenya? These are likely to be the main candidates, Raila Odinga and William Ruto. Is that the best, the cream of politics in Kenya? Patrick, you start.
Well, I don't think it's an issue of whether it's the best. It's really all that we have, to be quite honest. I think you're looking at who has the capacity to actually get elected, who's got the name recognition, who's been there long enough, who do people sort of, who are the guys the people will gravitate to. Whether they are the best, I wouldn't speak to that. I don't think they are. But when you look across the political arena, I can't say there isn't much better, to be honest.
Shiko, your face is giving you away, your face and that shaking of your head. Tell us more. Go ahead.
I know. I'm just like, I think we reduced our elections to something I call, and I'm sorry to say, the Idiots Festival, where we reduce ourselves to, we are going to vote for the numbers. We are going to vote because it's our tribesmen. We don't care what they stand for. Raila and Ruto are not the best we have. We have so many good people, but we choose to overlook that because they have not stolen enough. They have not shouted enough. They have not done anything to be recognized, because we recognize our thieves better in Kenya.
Who are these good people?
We have good people. We have Ruben Kigame as one of the gospel musicians who's coming up. The mainstream media is not even showcasing him. We are not talking about him. We have the young man.
Who makes him a better candidate?
Okay. But that's why I agree with Shiko, where the media portrays it as a two-horse race, but there are other candidates who don't even make it to the prime time, or we don't even get to see them or their campaign or anything like that. And so that's why it looks like it's so much focused on these two particular individuals and these two particular parties or coalitions. But there are other individuals, actually more than 10.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay, so that's good. And it's early days. Patrick, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah. The question was about quality of candidates, whether these are the best that we have. And my argument is that, really trying to gauge whether one is better than the other in the system that we have is really a crapshoot. If you look at our elections, for example, in 2002, when we thought we were getting the best that we had, we ended up with people who behaved very much as the thieves that they had replaced. So in essence, when we focus on, let's look for a good leader, let's look for a good president, I think we miss the point. The problem is the system we are putting them in. So when I look around, I don't think we are going to get any messiahs who are going to turn up and sort of fix our problems. In the end, we've got to sit back and say the system that we're in, that's all we need to get rid of.
But the system was created by the
last election. I was going to vote for Karua. I know. I mean, I feel that there have been individuals in the races, including Charity Ngilu being one of the first women to go for presidency. But right now we're talking about Martha Karua, who is also another woman, the second woman to go for presidency. And she might be going for deputy. But she's somebody that I believe in, somebody that I voted for previously. And I think she's an individual who can make a good president, even though that's not the position she's going for now. So I think they are good people. I think we just don't vote for them, because last time her votes came to about 100,000.
So Narima, can I?
So, but she was there.
Narima, in July, if I may, friends, in July of 2017, we had a show, all female politicians from Kenya, talking about the struggle to get into politics. This is what Esther told us in 2017. How true is it today? Let's have a look.
I think Kenya has really progressed in the sense that we've actually got it in our constitution that not more than 2/3 of one gender. So it's there. Unfortunately, women have not been empowered financially so that they can actually go for these positions, and they're doing it on their own. Political parties have still not been able to field women, and women have not really come forward. As Daisy said, even if all the women were elected, we still will not get the numbers right.
Chico, so that was 5 years ago. How are we doing right now? How many women have prospects?
So I will say at least we've had more women trying to come out and vote, but unfortunately the situation is more or less the same. We've seen it even worse with these party primaries that just we just completed last week. We've seen women being told to give up their positions because there's an affirmative action, they're going to be nominated. We've seen women who are very popular, who have campaigned for the longest time, being told, no, you know what, you need to step down. We're going to appoint you to something. So we're still seeing political parties working against the women who are trying to vie. And amazingly, we've even dealt with cases within our own circles where some of the women were intentionally removed from the ballot papers.
Why?
So this tells you that the system is really it is rigging them off because they are more popular than the candidates that are there.
Why would they do that? I know the answer. I should not ask a question where I know the answer. All right. But Patrick, explain why the women would be pushed off the ballot.
Well, it is an old boys club, to be honest. The men are taking care of their friends and they're trying to put in people with whom they are comfortable, with people who they think they can work with to rob the rest of us. And I think in the end, it's an old boys network that's there that will try to push out women who are really seen as interlopers. And I mean, you can think about Narima spoke about. Pasari spoke about the 2/3 gender rule and how they've refused to implement it. You know, when it comes to elections for parliament. So. There's clearly no political desire or will amongst the men who run Kenya to expand it so that they can include women into this.
So I'm just going to play, I'm just going to go back, rewind a little bit to March the 12th, 2022. This is when Raila Odinga accepted the nomination to be a presidential candidate. Narima, will you listen very carefully? What policies are you hearing? What's the mandate that he's promising? What is the campaign promise? Let's have a listen, let's have a look.
I accept this nomination with absolute gratitude and dedication to our people, our country, and all the leaders and parties that have endorsed this nomination. You have handed me a strong, broad, and unified platform to stand on and additional pairs of hands to help steady the ship.
Well, it's interesting because there's been so many parties, actually almost 20, that have come behind former Prime Minister Raila Odinga to support his candidacy. And that's why he's saying that it is such a strong platform for him. And it's something that we have never quite seen. The last time that we saw such a togetherness, I would say, would be 2002, where she talked about that earlier, with the National Rainbow Alliance, and many political parties and individuals came together behind former President Mwai Kibaki, who you mentioned has passed on. And the whole country just basically wanted to get rid of President Moi at the time. So that's where we've seen so much of a push. And he's just basically saying that now that I have this kind of support that is immense, then I'm going to make sure that I go through and focus on the people in Kenya and what they wish for and what they want for. Mm-hmm. Of course, everyone is heading toward the economy, although they're trying to use a framing where Azimio is trying to look like they are one and they're talking themselves as the One Alliance, which is unity and bringing all the tribes together. So that's kind of the lingo that they're utilizing. But I don't think they're that different when you look at both camps.
Mm. There's something I also feel like...
Yes, Shika, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Femi, but I feel like with this Azimio coalition, there's something that they, of course, wanted to emulate what happened in 2002 when Kibaki was coming in. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like one thing they're getting wrong is that within their coalition, they're also competing for seats. With the Rainbow Coalition, when it happened, all the parties had to kind of dissolve their parties to come and form one coalition. So it was, for them, it was very aligned in terms of their grouping. And this is also the tribal grouping that we do in Kenya, how we align
is what you call the idiots festival, correct? The idea that
yes, exactly.
All these groups in Kenya are whipped up just
exactly.
Coincidentally ahead of the election. And it's like, thank you, idiots. Yep. Moving on, we got your vote. Mm-hmm. All right, Patrick, have a listen to this for me. This is William Ruto. There is so much intrigue behind who is supporting who. The current president should be supporting his deputy president, but he is not. It's a whole soap opera going on. But let's have a listen to the deputy president and what he says he's going to be campaigning for if people vote for him. Here he is. Patrick, react off the back of it.
Wakati mnatuambia mambo ya mamlaka na madaraka na vyeo.
When you're telling us about power and government positions, we want to tell you of the boda boda and those pulling hand carts, vegetable vendors, touts, barbershop owners and cobblers, shoe shiners. They are also business owners. We should respect them and uplift them so that Kenya can move forward.
Shimu tuwasaidie ndio Kenya iweze kwenda mbele.
I should just say that a boda-boda is a very efficient form of transport. You're on the back of a bike. Good luck with that. Hope you make it to your destination. Patrick, go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, obviously, the deputy president is trying to frame his campaign as sort of something new in Kenyan politics, that it's no longer about appealing to ethnic blocs, but appealing to almost the underdeveloped classes, the people who've been ignored by the system for a long time, and those are the border, the people he calls the hustlers. But there's a chink in what he's saying. I mean, there is a lie embedded in there, because who has been ignoring these people? This guy has been in office, since 2013. He's been the deputy president of the republic. And for a long time was a very loyal deputy president, had been promised he'd get his 10 years after Kenyatta was done. So I think, in essence, he's just utilizing a trope, he's just utilizing a narrative, but there's nothing really embedded in it. In fact, John Githongo described this election as an election about nothing. Mm. And it's really the first time we've got an election where both candidates, none of them is actually proposing anything that is serious. So Ruto says, talks a big game about hustlers, but no proposals, nothing policy-wise that he's putting forward.
Guess.
The same thing with, what's his name? With Raila Odinga, with Azimio. He talks again.
What's his name? I hope he's not watching right now. All right. YouTube.
There's one thing, if I may,
yes.
Femi.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
Both Nerima and Shiko have compared this election to the 2002 one. But I think the more pertinent election is the 2013 one. Ah. In 2002, you had a huge sort of grouping and coalition on one side. 2013, it was split, and the same way we are split now between Azimio and Ruto's outfit. You know, in 2002, we were very invested in getting Moi out, mm-hmm. you know, and that was really the driving force. In 2013, we knew Kibaki was going, you know, and just as today, people know Uhuru is going, you know. So I think the
He doesn't want to go, though.
So guess if I may, I'm just going to bring in some of our YouTube audience because you're inspiring them to actually talk to you. A couple of thoughts. I want you to react as quickly as you can. Narima, I'm going to put this one to you from YouTube. Same old candidates. Can we get some new young guys? Answer that question in a sentence. Is that possible this year?
This year it's going to be difficult just because of the finances that it takes to run a campaign. The Finance Act tried to put a cap, but we're talking about 4 billion shillings that a lot of young people don't have access to. So this time around, it's going to be difficult and no.
All right. Patrick, this one, answer very quickly. This is from Carl on YouTube. It wants to know what Ruto and Odinga's terms of development policies are going forward. Do they have development policies for Kenya? Are you hearing them?
Well, no, all they have are really just generalized statements and positions. But there's nothing specific that you're getting out of them. They all keep saying, wait for the manifestos. But I know in Kenyan, having looked at Kenyan history and politicking, the manifestos don't really all look the same or promise the same thing.
Are you tired and bitter of Kenyan elections, Patrick? Are you over them?
I am, to be honest. And actually, perhaps what we should do on this show is also talk about the efficacy of elections, you know, because we keep pushing people to participate in them, but they never seem to deliver anything that is that changes the lives of Kenyans.
Yeah.
They always end up in the same space, and I think we really need to get a bit more serious about how people participate in the years in between elections, which is when the stealing happens, which is when the policies are meant to be implemented. The election is a spectacle for the politicians, and they have managed to convince us that that is where we should invest our energy.
I think what we're going to see right now.
Narima, you pick up, and then Shiko, you go second. And let me just bring in Abiko, who's watching right now. Abiko, thank you so much. Abiko says, this will be the apathy election. We will not vote.
Exactly. That is exactly what I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Abiko's on the same page as you. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I feel like this is one election where we're seeing a lot of young people just saying, you know what, forget it. I don't want to be involved in it. And I think that it's going to continue to grow. In a way, I think that there's a rebel non-vote happening right now. And I don't think we even quite understand that. I don't think our Elections Boundaries Commission understands that as well. And it's in a way young people going against what their parents want them to do. Because parents are saying, get your voters card, get out there, participate. And the youth are saying, no, I don't want to. And I've had so many parents come up to me and say, I don't know what to tell my kids anymore. And so in a sense, I think we're seeing a shift in our country that we're not even beginning to understand. And it's only going to change when young people see people that they identify with who are making sense to them. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see a decline in this participation of elections.
I agree with Narima. And also to add on that, there was COVID. COVID happened and the politicians disappeared. We saw them after COVID went down and they came to campaign. So they came back to lie to us that they have our interests at heart. Yet the young people lost jobs. Over 60% of them are now jobless, hopeless. Where are they? So the same politicians who are coming to tell us they are going to provide jobs then, they were not there to caution us when COVID happened. So these are people we cannot even trust. But then because elections has been put as a festival that we all have to come out, we have to vote someone, we have to just tick a box. Then at the end of the day, young people are feeling like this is not for us. Let those who benefit from it then go on and do it.
All right, Shiko, let me play this for you. This is from our community. Patrick, hold tight for a moment just so I can create a little bit of space from a couple of our community that we spoke to earlier. And they talked about hate speech and hate politics. Shiko, this is ground that I know you know very well. Have a listen to our community and then respond immediately afterwards.
The commission responsible for monitoring inflammatory speech on social, political, and media platforms has largely failed in its mandate. One, because the commission lacks the legal mechanism to prosecute perpetrators of hate speech and misinformation. This means that the political class never take them very seriously.
Kenya's elections are usually hotly contested, whereby political candidates use tribal politics to incite and influence voting patterns. As a result, Kenya's democratic processes are marred by violence, mostly enabled by hateful and discriminatory politics. Poor content moderation by Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok is dangerously fueling propaganda.
Well, I like the fact that the last guy spoke about propaganda, because right now our election is being run by propaganda, misinformation, and disinformation. We've seen all the politicians now have bloggers and are paying young people 1,000 shillings. That is equivalent to $10 or something, to now go on and hate, attack each other, troll people online. So Twitter has become chaotic for Kenyans. I will talk about the commission that is mandated to regulate hate speech, where we think, or I know, is a toothless dog, and I'm sorry, because we have seen them again and again throwing threats that they don't take anywhere. We have a commission that cannot prosecute. We have a commission that, at the end of the day, cannot do anything apart from produce statements. But they're still sitting on Kenyan allowances, Kenyan taxes, and still feeding on these, apart from the few campaigns we've seen them running online, to be honest. What is the impact they have on the ground? We've seen them, we've seen someone being arrested for inciting people, for, say, putting out a statement that was insightful. And then after 2 days, because they have the money or they know so-and-so in power, they come out and nothing happens. We now know that the commission is working with the government. So at the end of the day, it's not going, the government is already taking sides. So it is not going to be nonpartisan. It is not going to serve the people. It will be serving the interest of someone in the structure of politics.
I want to tell our audience that you recommended that I watch an NTV documentary called Crowds for Hire. It's the behind the scenes, it's the shenanigans, that what politicians do to make crowds happen, how they spread their influence, how maybe what you're seeing in the campaign will not be reflected at the ballot box. This gentleman that we're about to hear from is called a mobiliser. He whips up the campaigns. He had to speak using a secret identity. But I think it's a really interesting place to end, because as we see more and more rallies happening, can we believe our eyes? Have a listen, have a look, everybody.
Sasa itulia ward, ni wana mobilise wale vijana wa ward. Sasa wewe kama itulia ward, unaambiwa kwa ward yako, tunataka vijana 50. Ama vijana 30. Wakikuja wakwambie ni aje, tuko na shughuli moja hapa hivi, nataka tu muende mchachishe tu. Si most of the time naitanga bumbrush. Bumbrush. Tuende kubumbrusha mtu ya in short. Kwa hivyo, natoka base, tunaenda ni kitu kama 1 hour, ama the whole day, so inalingana, inategemea.
Will I ever believe a crowd that I ever see in Kenya ever again? And I have to say, of course, it's not just Kenya. This happens the world over. All right. Dare we, 4 months before a general election, call it? Narima, who's going to be the next president of Kenya? In a sentence.
Only two outcomes. I don't know who the president will be. We'll either have a very terrible turnout or a very good turnout, because it's too close and everyone will be trying to get every single vote, because every single vote counts.
Chica, what last sentence are you going to leave us with?
Yo, I feel like young people need to understand that the moment we boycott this, it means we are voting for the wrong. But at the end of the day, we understand that we feel like it's already structured, so we need to plan ourselves better.
Patrick, your final sentence is what?
Is don't look at the election. Don't put too much stake in it. Doesn't really matter who gets in. Look at what happens after the elections in the five years.
Patrick, the old man of politics.
Oh, my gosh, it's much of wisdom.
Patrick, Chico, Narima, you got us thinking. YouTube audience, we appreciate you. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you next time.